worship of the Main Street Church of Christ. We'd especially like to welcome Radio North Texas, Radio Abilene, Radio Searcy, Arkansas, and most of Arkansas, Oklahoma City, and all of Central Oklahoma, Radio Nashville that covers all of Tennessee, Alabama, and Kentucky, and also Worldwide Christian Radio, in which we get all of Canada, Alaska, South America, Central America, all of Africa, all of Europe, Eastern Europe, half of Russia, and all of the Middle East. And we're trying to add two more stations from World Christian Broadcasting. We get those two stations, we'll be going out to all the earth. As it is right now today, the sun never sets on the worship of the Main Street Church of Christ. Last month we had 4,977 house churches that downloaded 45,000 sermons. If you take 45,000 sermons and divide it by the 4 weeks in a month, that's 1,100 a week that is listened to. That's like having, 11,000 a week. That's like having a church of 11,000 just in our internet. There's over 200 of us here. And between 200 and 250, we have a lot traveling and sick this morning. And we've got 150 families in our CD list that we mail out to that worship at home from all over the world. And then there's just no telling how many by radio. So God has really blessed us. We have a hospital chaplain work we volunteer in Baylor Hospital, and now coming is our jail chaplain, who's going to tell us and give us a report of the jail ministry. Brother Ed.
How's everybody doing this day? I'm about to lose my voice. I already woke up with a sore throat and got a little bit of a cold. But most of the time, I sound pretty good when I got a cold. I y'all like that deep voice of mine? Yeah, that's really me. But, you know, God has just really been good. You know, last week we had a couple of guys that couldn't make the prison ministry. And lo and behold, God sent Ralph McCollin. Y'all know Ralph? He did the song service here a couple of weeks ago. Last time I was here, he did the song service from Grapevine. And he showed up, and we got him into the prison ministry. He's able to do all the songs. You know, so that was a blessing. I said, God is just always right on time. You know, so, but I noticed the bulletins are maybe 1 week behind on the baptisms, but we did 13 last week, so we do have a total of 936 so far this year, and we're just going to continue to go. I think today going to be my first day that I'm going to go to the jail by myself. Most of my other volunteers are traveling right now out of the country, most of them out of the country, and doing some other stuff. So y'all just keep me in prayer, hoping my voice come back. The last time I had a cold like this, I couldn't speak at all. But I went to the jail anyway, and I told the guys, I said, man, y'all going to have to scratch y'all sermon because I'm not going to be able to speak. I could barely talk to them. They could barely hear me. And we get to the jail, and they finished their sermons, and we still had 35 minutes before we could go. So I decided I was going to say something. And actually, I got to Acts chapter 2:38. And my voice just came back just like that. I appreciate those 35 minutes. Y'all just keep us in prayer. Thank you much.
In 160 A.D., a man named Tatian blended together Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John into one chronological account of the life of Christ. And no one has done that. And years ago, I began studying and in 1980 wrote a book called Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in which I blended together Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And the three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, are called synoptic Gospels because they're similar. So what I did is I took and compared the three verses that are similar in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and the one that had the fullest explanation, I chose that verse. And then where John had more information, we added that. So I'm going to read to you the story this morning of the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the fullest account from all four gospels, from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Let's drop down to the second thing on your list there, Adam. We'll begin in Mark chapter 14, beginning in verse 44 and 45. Now, I'm reading from a slightly different translation than the one that's on the board. The one that's on the board is the King James translation. I'll be reading from the RSV, the Revised Standard Version. But you'll be able to keep up. The differences are very small. Mark 14, verse 44. Now that he that betrayed him had given him a token, saying, "Whomsoever I shall kiss, that is he, take him and lead him away safely." And when he was come, straightway he came to him and said, "Rabbi," and kissed him, Luke. But when Jesus said unto him, "Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss?" And when they that were about him saw what would follow, they said, "Lord, shall we smite with a sword?" John. And Simon Peter, therefore, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. Now the servant's name was Malchus. And Jesus therefore said unto Peter, "Put up the sword into its sheath. The cup which the Father has given me, shall I not drink it?" Cup is referred to as bitterness and gall and punishment in the Old Testament. Matthew 26. "For all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Or thinkest thou that I cannot beseech my Father, and he shall send me now more than 12 legions of angels," that's 60,000 angels. "How then should the scriptures be fulfilled that saith thus that it must be?" In other words, the scriptures of the Old Testament, Psalms 22, Isaiah 53, those scriptures that we've studied, the prophecies of Christ, Luke 22. "And Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temples and elders that were come against him, Are you come out as against a robber with swords and staves? When I was daily with you in the temple, you stretched not forth your hand against me. But this is your hour, that the power of darkness," Matthew. "And all this has come to pass, that the scripture of the prophets might be fulfilled. And then the disciples left him and fled," Mark 14. "And a certain young man followed him, having a linen cloth cast about him over his naked body. And they laid hold on him, and he left the linen cloth and fled naked." There's most scholars think that that was Mark that's talking about himself. Jesus before Annas the high priest. John 18, bear in mind it's against the law to have a nighttime trial. "And so the band and the chief captain and the officers of the Jews seized Jesus and bound him and led him to Annas first, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, who was high priest that year. Now Caiaphas was he that took counsel to the Jews, that it was expedient that one man should die for the people." Now, I explained to you just a few weeks ago that Caiaphas, in the 1990s, they were digging with a bulldozer in Israel and broke through the top of a burial cave and found Caiaphas's sarcophagus, his bone box that has his name on it, Joseph Bar Kufu, Bar Kaffa, Caiaphas, and he was coined in the mouth, showing that he really doesn't believe in the same God that we believed in. He believed in Greek mythology that he had himself coined in the mouth when he died. The high priest therefore asked Jesus of his disciples and of his teaching. And Jesus answered him, "I have spoken openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogues and in the temple, and where all the Jews come together. And in secret spake I nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them that have heard me what I spake unto them. Behold, these know things which I said." And when he had said, one of the officers standing by struck Jesus with his hand and answering, saying, "Answerest thou the high priest so?" And Jesus said unto him, "If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me?" In fulfillment of the prophecies of Isaiah 50. Jesus tried and condemned by Caiaphas and the Sanhedrin, Matthew 26. And they that had taken Jesus led him away into the house of Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were gathered together. Now again, it's against the law to have a nighttime trial. And so now when the chief priest and the whole council saw false witnesses against Jesus that they might put him to death, Mark. For many bear false witness against him, and their witness agreed not together. Now this is a really important point. One of the great principles of our legal system and court system is that you cross-examine witnesses. And when you cross-examine witnesses, lies come out. People can't consistently lie. They have to tell another lie and another lie and another lie to break up the lies. And so our legal system understands that if you cross-examine liars, they're going to be shown to be liars. And I want you to notice what we have here in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We have four eyewitness accounts, or in one case, a historian who wrote from eyewitness accounts, Luke, and they never contradict each other, ever. And so this must be the truth because there's no contradiction among witnesses. And there stood up certain that bear false witness against him, saying, "We heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and in 3 days I will build another made without hands. And now not even so did their witnesses agree together. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? Matthew 26. But Jesus held his peace. And the high priest said to him, I adjure thee by the living God, in other words, I put you under oath by the living God, that thou tell us whether thou art the Christ, the Son of God. Mark, and Jesus answered and said, I am, and ye shall see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven. Matthew, then when the high priest rent his garments, saying, He has spoken blasphemy, what further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now ye have heard the blasphemy. What think ye? They all answered, He is worthy of death. In a nighttime trial, now he was tried in violation of the Old Testament. Then did they spit in his face and buffet him in fulfillment of Isaiah 50. And some smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, Prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is it that struck thee? And now Peter denies Jesus. We've all done that, haven't we? John 18. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Now that disciple was known unto the high priest. This is probably John. That's how he refers to himself. And he entered in with Jesus into the court of the high priest. But Peter was standing at the door without, so that the other disciple, who was known unto the high priest, went out and spake unto her that kept the door and brought in Peter, Mark. And as Peter was beneath in the court, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest, and seeing Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, Thou wast with the Nazarene, even Jesus. But he denied, saying, I neither know nor understand what thou sayest. And he went out unto the porch, and the cock crew. John 18. Now the servant and the officers were standing there, having made a fire of coals, for it was cold. And they that were warming themselves, and Peter also was with them, standing and warming himself. Matthew. And when he had gone out unto the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, This man also was with Jesus. And again he denied with an oath, I know not the man. And after a little while, they that stood by came and said unto Peter, Of a truth thou art one of them, for thy speech maketh thee known. His brogue, his language, you could tell he was a Galilean. like there's no doubt that I'm from Texas, is there? So you could understand from his brogue where he was from. Then began he to curse and to swear, I know not the man. And straightway the cock crew, Luke. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the words of the Lord, how that he had said unto him, before the cock crows this day, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Dawn Friday, after dawn, Jesus is formally condemned. Luke chapter 22. And as soon as it was day, the assembly of the elders of the people were gathered together, both the chief priests and the scribes, and they led him away into their council, saying, if thou art the Christ, tell us. But he said unto them, if I tell you, you will not believe, and if I ask you, you will not answer. But from henceforth shall the Son of Man be seated at the right hand of the power of God. That's in fulfillment of Psalms 110, verse 1, and Daniel 7:13. And they all said unto them, art thou the Son of God? And he said unto them, ye say that I am. Now in Hebrew, these words here mean you said it with your own mouth. And so he's not denying at all. He's telling them, yes, he's affirming that I am. And they said, what further need we of witnesses, for we ourselves has heard from his own mouth. Now Judas hangs himself. Matthew 27. And when Judas, who had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself, and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, that I have sinned in that I have betrayed innocent blood. And in the Greek there, the article is used, it's the innocent blood. There's only one person in all of history who was entirely innocent and has never sinned, and that I have betrayed the innocent blood. But they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the 30 pieces of silver in the sanctuary and departed and went away and hanged himself. And this is in fulfillment of Zechariah chapter 11, where the Lord says, cast it to the potter, that goodly price that I was priced at of them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast it to the potter in the house of the Lord. So these things had all been prophesied hundreds and hundreds of hundreds of years before in the Old Testament. Acts 1:18. Now this man obtained a field with a reward of iniquity, and as we studied last week, he threw the money down in the temple, and the priest went and bought the field, but Judas couldn't wash his hands of the money. It was his money, and it became his field. And where did fate take Judas to hang himself? It took him right to that same field that they had bought, and he went there to hang himself. Now this man obtained a field with a reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst in asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. So a Jew that hung himself, no other Jew would touch his dead body because they'd be ceremonially unclean for a week. You couldn't go home for a week. Why would you touch a dead body, somebody you didn't even know, especially somebody that killed themselves? And so why would you touch a dead body? So if you didn't know the guy, you'd let him hang there with his head pulled off. So that's precisely what happened to Judas. Matthew 27. And the chief priest took the pieces of silver and said, it's not lawful to put them in the treasury, for it is a price of blood. And they took counsel and brought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. As I told you last week, that became the tomb of Ananias, which is the family of the high priest that had murdered Jesus. They later persecute the Apostle Paul. They're later all killed in the insurrection that the rebels, the Zealots, have an insurrection against Rome in 66 A.D. And so their tomb was looted and their body was thrown out in that field to rot, the same place Judas's body was thrown out to rot, and they're all laying there waiting for the resurrection. the high priest and Judas. Acts 1:19, and it became known to all the dwellers of Jerusalem, insomuch that in their language that field was called a seldoma, that is the field of blood. That's what a seldoma means. Matthew. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken through Jeremiah the prophet, saying, they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was priced, whom certain of the children of Israel did price, and they gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord has appointed me. And now Jesus before Pilate the first time. Matthew 27. And he brought him and led him away and delivered him up unto Pilate, the governor. And they led Jesus, therefore, from Caiaphas unto the praetorium. And it was early, and they themselves entered not into the palace, that they might not be defiled, but they might eat the Passover. And Pilate therefore went out unto them and saith, what accusation bring ye against this man? And they answered and said unto him, if this man were not an evildoer or malefactor, is what that means, we would not have delivered him unto thee. Luke. And they began to accuse him, saying, we found this man perverting our nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar. And see, that's a bald-faced lie, because he said, given to Caesar the things that belong to Caesar, and to God the things that belong to God. And saying that he himself is Christ, a king. John. And Pilate therefore said unto them, take him yourselves and judge him according to your law. And the Jews said unto him, it is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the words of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying by what manner of death he should die. Pilate therefore entered again into the palace and called Jesus and said unto him, art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus answered and said this of thyself, or did others tell it thee concerning me? And Pilate answered, am I Jew? Thine own nation and thy chief priests delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? And Jesus answered and said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered unto the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. And Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? And Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king, and to this end I have been born, and to this end I am come into the world, that I should bear witness of the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. And Pilate said unto him, what is truth? And he said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and said unto them, I find no crime in him. Mark. And the chief priests accused him of many things, in Matthew 27. Then said Pilate unto him, hearest thou how many things that they witness against thee? And he gave him no answer, not even one word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. But they that were more urgent, saying, he stirreth up the people, teaching throughout all Judea and beginning from Galilee, even unto this place. We'd like to encourage our radio audience to visit the Church of Christ nearest your home, or call us at 214-821-2123. And be sure and visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. Spell it out, it's like a hyphenated word, churchofchrist.com. For free downloadable a cappella singing, there's thousands of written lessons and links on there, and all kinds of sermons, and you can study the Bible and get a college education on that website, I guarantee you. Jesus is now taken before Herod. You remember we have studied that the Jews had lost the ability to carry out capital punishment. Genesis 49:10 says, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloah comes, that means Messiah, until the Messiah comes, and to him shall the gathering of the people be. Binding his foal unto a vine, he's going to come riding into town on a donkey, binding his foal to a vine, and his ass his colt to a choice vine. So he is going to be, there'll always be a king of the house of Judah until a Messiah comes. Herod's not of the house of Judah. And the house of Judah will always have a lawgiver. That means the ability to carry out capital punishment until a Messiah comes. And now the Jews can no longer carry out the capital punishment. And so Herod's daddy could, but this Herod here, Antipas, couldn't. Jesus is taken before Herod, Luke. But when Pilate heard it, he asked whether the man were a Galilean, and when he knew that he was of Herod's jurisdiction. Now Herod Jr., when the old man died, Caesar gave Herod Jr. a smaller kingdom that included just Galilee. And so he sent him now to judge him because he's a Galilean, but Herod can't put him to death. But when he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem in these days. Now when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he was of a long time desirous to see him, because he had heard concerning him, and he hoped to see some miracle done by him. And he questioned him many words, but he answered him nothing. And a chief priest and a scribe stood vehemently accusing him. And Herod with his soldiers set him at naught and mocked him and arrayed him in gorgeous apparel and sent him back to Pilate. And Herod and Pilate became friends with each other that very day, for before they were at enmity between themselves. So two wicked men kissed and made up over the killing of the Son of God. Jesus before Pilate the second time. Now at the feast, the governor was to release unto the multitude one prisoner whom they would, Mark. Now there was one called Barabbas lying bound with them that had made insurrection, men who in the insurrection had committed murder. And the multitude went up and began to ask him to do as he would to do unto them. Luke, and Pilate called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people and said unto them, you brought unto me this man as one that perverteth the people. And behold, I, having examined him before you, find no fault in this man touching those things whereof you accuse him. No, nor yet Herod, for he sent him back to us. And behold, nothing worthy of death has been done by him. Matthew. When therefore they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him up. And while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him, saying, have thou nothing to do with that righteous man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. Now the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. But the governor answered and said unto them, which of the two will ye that I release unto you? And they said, Barabbas. Now, this is a shadow in the Old Testament, is a shadow of the new thing to come. But in the Old Testament, there were two lambs that were taken at Passover and at the Day of Atonement, really, in which one lamb had his, they'd shoot dice over him and they'd choose one to be the sacrifice. His throat would be cut. The other would be the scapegoat, the one that got away. And Barabbas is a scapegoat, the one that gets away. Just like us. We get away, don't we? Because Jesus died for my sins, I get away. You get away because Christ died for your sins. Luke 23. But they cried out all together, saying, away with this man, and release unto Barabbas, one who for certain insurrection made in the city for murder was cast into prison. He was a revolutionary against the Romans, in other words, John 19. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. Now scourging was done with a Roman flagon, which had three tails to it, and it had a piece of metal on the end of each one of those tails like a barbell, and it was designed to bust you up. And so every place that that thing hit you, it would raise a whelp the size of a lemon on you. It would raise just a great big bruise and bust the skin open. And so to be scourged with a flagon to get 39 licks with a three-whipped tail means that he had 117 cuts all the way to the bone on his back and his sides and his buttocks. If they'd have used a Jewish cat of nine tails, it would have even been worse. Therefore, he took Jesus. And scourging, by the way, in some cases was a death sentence. It would kill you and me to be scourged. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns. We've got one down here right on the table if you'd like to see what one of those look like. They have long thorns, and it's a type of thorns that grow in Israel. Plaited a crown of thorns and put it upon his head and arrayed him in purple, that's the garments of the king, color of royalty. And they came to him and said, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they struck him with their hands. And Pilate went out again and said unto him, "Behold, I bring him out unto you, that you may know that I find no crime in him." And so Pilate thinking, well, after we beat him up so bad, maybe they'll have pity on him. And maybe they'll let him go. Jesus therefore came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple garment. And Pilate said unto him, "Behold the man." In other words, he's not a king, he's not the Son of God, he's just a man. We beat him all up and show you he's a man. When therefore the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." And Pilate said unto him, "Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no crime in him." And Jesus answered him, and the Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by that law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." Now this kind of scares Pilate. See, they believe in mythology and things like that. When Pilate therefore heard this saying, he was the more afraid. And he entered into the palace again and said unto Jesus, "Whence art thou?" But Jesus gave him no answer. And Pilate therefore saith unto him, "Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to release thee, and I have power to crucify thee?" And Jesus answered, "Thou would have no power against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin." Upon this Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, "If thou release this man, thou art not Caesar's friend. Everyone that maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar." Then Pilate, therefore, when he heard those words, he brought Jesus out and sat down on a judgment seat at a place that is called a pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the preparation of the Passover, and it was about the sixth hour. Now John dates his dating different than the Jews' dating. John's writing later, about 90 A.D., and he does his calculation from the Gentiles, the way the Gentiles, he's writing in Asia Minor, and he is saying from the sixth hour, which would be from midnight as we do, it would be about 6 in the morning. And so John's saying that this took place here before Pilate about 6 in the morning. And he said unto the Jews, "Behold your king." And they therefore cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." And Pilate said unto them, "Shall I crucify your king?" And the chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Matthew. So when Pilate saw that he was prevailing nothing, but rather a tumult was arising, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this righteous man. See ye did." And all the people said, "His blood be upon us and upon our children." And as it was, that generation was destroyed by the Romans in 70 A.D. Luke 23. And Pilate gave sentence that as they asked should be done. And he released him for insurrection and murder who had been cast into prison, whom they asked for. But Jesus, he delivered up to their will. Jesus is now mocked by the Roman soldiers. Matthew 27. And when the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the palace and gathered to him the whole band. Now, a band is 500 men, and those that were not on duty, those that were around the barracks, and that's where it's talking about, they took him to the barracks was the same place as the prison was. So everybody that wasn't on duty, they just all beat him up and bullied him. And so it would be like a black person at a Ku Klux Klan rally, or a white boy like me being captured by the black Muslims on Bear Street. I just couldn't think of a worse place to be, and you couldn't think of a worse place to be either. And that's where Jesus is. That's what he went through for us. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the palace and gathered to him the whole band. And they kneeled down before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they spat upon him and took a reed and smote him on the head on that crown of thorns. Don't you know that hurt? Took a reed, a cane pole, and beat that crown of thorns down on his head. Jesus on the way to the cross. Mark 15. And when they that mocked him, they took off from him the purple and put on him his garments. And they led him out to crucify, John 19. And they took Jesus therefore, and he went out bearing his cross for himself unto the place of the skull that in the Hebrew is called Golgotha. At Mark 15. And they'll compel one passing by, Simon of Cyrene, coming from the country of his father Alexander Rufus, to go with them, that they might bear his cross. Let's skip this Luke 23, and we'll drop down to Matthew 27, verse 33. And when they were come unto the place called Golgotha, that is to say, the place of the skull, they gave him wine to drink, mingled with gall. Now the prophet had said in Psalm 69, that they would give this Christ when he comes, that they would give him two things, that they would give him gall and that they would give him vinegar. Now the first thing, gall is half wine and half opium. So they're offering him knockout drops, they're offering him dope, and I'm telling you now, I took two Tylenol for a preach today. I'd have took the dope. You'd have took the dope. We'd all took the dope. They offered us the gall, we'd have took the dope. But Jesus didn't take the dope because he wanted to suffer for you and I, for the sins of you and I. That's how much God loves us. But later, here you see he refuses the gall, but later he receives the vinegar when it's over. So go study that in Psalm 69, verse 21. And they gave him wine to drink mingled with gall, and when he had tasted it, he would not drink. Jesus' first 3 hours on the cross. This is 9 a.m. to 12 noon. Luke 23, verse 33. There they crucified with him the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." How different that is than us. Boy, I'd be saying, "Kill them all, smite them, get them, Lord, get them and save me." You know, you would too. Boy, how different God is in us. John 19, verse 23. And the soldiers, therefore, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts to every soldier a part. And the coat now was without seam, woven from the top throughout. And they said, therefore, one to another, "Let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my garments among them, and upon my vestures did they cast lots." And I encourage you to go read Psalms 22, verse 18, written 1,000 years before Christ was ever born, that says exactly that. that when the Christ comes, in this same Psalms begins with, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The very words of Jesus on the cross. And then it tells about parting his garments and casting lots for his clothes. These things therefore the soldiers did, John. And Pilate wrote a title also. And put it on the cross. And there was written, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title therefore read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh unto the city, and it was written in Hebrew and in Latin and in Greek, all the languages of the ancient world. Hebrews for the Jews, probably meaning Aramaic, and Latin, the language of the Romans, and Greek, the language of all the world. Everybody spoke Greek as a second language. And the chief priests of the Jews therefore said unto Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but he said, I'm King of the Jews. And Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. Matthew 27. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads. Now this is in fulfillment of Psalms 22:2. Thou that destroyest the temple, buildest it in 3 days, save thyself if thou art the Son of God. Come down from the cross. In like manner also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and with the elders, said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe on him. He trusted on God. Let him deliver him now if he desired him. For he said, I am the Son of God. And the robbers also that were crucified with him cast upon him the same reproach. Now, when you were crucified in those days, they drove the nails right here in this part of your hand, in between your hand and your wrist, on both sides, and in your ankles to drive the nails into the side of into the sides of the cross. And so he was not only nailed to the cross, he was also tied to it too, because you couldn't drive a nail through this part of the hand, because the weight would cause it to tear out and you'd fall down off of the thing. And so here get the story of the and one of the malefactors that were hanged rallied on him, saying, art not thou the Christ? Save thyself and us. But the other answered and rebuked him, saying, dost thou not even fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation? And we justly, for we receive our due rewards of our deeds. But this man has done nothing. And he said, Jesus, remember me when thou comest to thy kingdom. And he said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. Now people all the time say, how in the world did the thief on the cross go to heaven without being baptized? Have y'all ever heard that? How did the thief on the cross go to heaven without being baptized? What makes you think he wasn't baptized? Have y'all ever known a baptized backslider? I have. I have. In fact, I've done it my own self. How about y'all? Has any of y'all ever backslid after getting baptized? Don't show your hands now. I don't want to embarrass you, because I know you'd all put them up. I know you'd all put your hands up. How did this guy know Jesus was sinless if he didn't know Jesus? How did he know he was sinless? How did he know about the kingdom of God? How did he know there was any such thing as the kingdom of God? Much less to say, remember me when thou comest to thy kingdom. How did he know that if he wasn't? The Bible says that John the Baptist began to preach, saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And it says that all of Jerusalem and Judea went out to be baptized of John. And that they were a bunch of them people, reprobates, people like us, sinners, reprobates just like us. And then Jesus himself began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Then Jesus ordained 12 disciples to go before his face, and they preached, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand," and they baptized all manner of people. And then Jesus ordained 70 to go before his face to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." 84 gospel preachers going out to preach in the land of Israel that we know of. John had other disciples. Jesus had other disciples. But 84 that we know of, and you're telling me that this guy doesn't know nothing about the kingdom of God? He doesn't know nothing about Christ or anything? That's a big assertion, isn't it? "This day thou shalt be with me in paradise," John chapter 19. But there was standing by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister and Mary the wife of Cleophas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing whom he loved, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold thy son." Then said he unto the disciple, "Behold thy mother." And from that hour the disciple took her into his house. That was probably John. So there are 3 hours of darkness from noon to 3 o'clock when Christ dies. Mark chapter 15. And when the sixth hour was come, now the synoptic gospels reckon time by the Jewish way of reckoning time, while John, writing 50 years later, reckons time, 60 years later, reckons time by the Gentile way. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land to the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," that is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" The very words of Psalms 22. And some of them that stood by when they heard it said, "Behold, he cries for Elijah," Matthew 27. And the rest said, let us see whether Elijah cometh to save him," John 19. And after Jesus, knowing that all things are now finished, that the scripture might be accomplished, saith, "I thirst." And they will set a vessel full of vinegar, so that they dipped a sponge full of vinegar upon hyssop, that's a stick, and brought it to his mouth. And when therefore he had received the vinegar, notice he received the vinegar, he didn't receive the gall. When he received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And Jesus, crying with a loud voice, according to Luke, saith, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And having said this, he gave up the ghost. And the signs accompanying Jesus' death. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in two from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks were rent, and the tombs were opened, and many bodies of the saints that had fallen asleep were raised and come forth from the tomb after his resurrection, and entered into the holy city, and appeared to many. And this is in fulfillment of the prophecy of Daniel 12 in the Old Testament, saying at the death of Christ that they will be, many will be raised at that time to give testimony. Now the centurion and they that were watching with Jesus, when they saw the earthquake and the things that were done, feared exceedingly, said, "Truly this was the Son of God." And many women that were beholding from afar, who had followed Jesus from Galilee and ministered unto him, among the many was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the son of Zebedee. Mark 15. Who, when he was in Galilee, followed him and ministered unto him, and many other women came up with him. Now the burial of Jesus, John 19. The Jews, therefore, because it was preparation that the bodies should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath day was a high day. That means it was a Sabbath day plus another holy day, which is Passover. So that's like a double Sabbath. So it was a high holy day. Asked of Pilate that their legs might be broken. Now, when you break the legs of somebody on the cross, they can no longer raise themselves up and get a breath of air, and so they drowned in the fluids in their own lungs. And so they're trying to get them killed before 6 o'clock, before the sun goes down. And the soldiers therefore came and brake the legs of the first and of the other that was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. Howbeit, now that's in fulfillment of the prophecy, a bone of him shall not be broken, according to Exodus. Howbeit, one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and straightway they came out blood and water. And so the prophecy of Zechariah 12:10, and I will pour upon the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication. He'll do that in 50 days at Pentecost. He's going to pour his spirit out. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. When did the Jews ever pierce their God? Right here, when they had the Roman soldiers do it. And the fact that water came out too shows that he was already dead. And they came out blood and water. And he that is seen bore witness, and his witness is true, and he knows what he saith is true. This is John. That you may know and believe, for these things came to pass, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Speaking of Exodus 12, a bone of him shall not be broken. And again, another scripture saith, they shall look upon him whom they have pierced, from Zechariah 12. Mark 15. And when evening was now come, because it was preparation, that is the day of the Sabbath, there came Joseph of Arimathea. Now Matthew calls him a rich man in fulfillment of the prophecy that a rich man, he'd be buried in a rich man's tomb. Joseph of Arimathea, a counselor of honorable estate, who also himself was looking for the kingdom of God. And he boldly went into Pilate and asked the body of Jesus. And Pilate marveled if he were already dead. And calling to him the centurion, he asked him whether he had been any while dead. And when he learned from the centurion, he granted the corpse to Joseph. John 19. And Pilate gave him leave, and there came and took away his body, and there came also Nicodemus, who at first came with him by night, and bringeth a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds weight. And so they took the body and bound it in linen cloth with the spices, as the custom of the Jews to bury. Now in the place where there was the crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb. This is Joseph of Arimathea's tomb, a new tomb, wherein never a man yet lay. And there then, because of the Jewish preparation for the tomb was nigh at hand, they laid Jesus. Now next week we will study resurrection. The gospel, the Bible tells us, is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This morning you've heard the whole story about the death and the burial of Christ. Next week, you're going to get the whole story about the resurrection of Christ. It's all in fulfillment of prophecy. The prophets said that it would happen hundreds of years before it ever happened. Psalms 22, Isaiah 53. Those of you that are new, go home and read those. There should be no doubt in your mind after reading those that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You might ask, well, how do we know, preacher, that some Christian writer didn't just write that and late date that, and how do we know that that was written before it took place? Well, when we found the Dead Sea Scrolls, we found copies of the Old Testament that were written before Jesus was ever born. So I encourage you to study and believe. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you believe that gospel, there's no reason whatsoever for you to be lost. You can just march right down here, down at the front, and make confession that you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You can repent of your sins. Godly sorrow worketh repentance. And you can turn to Christ and be baptized into Christ and have your sins washed away. If you're here this morning and you want to become a Christian, What's hindering you now? If you have sin in your life, you need the help of the church or the prayers of the church, won't you come now while we stand and sing?